Welcome to Fresh 55, and we are about to continue the conversation that we began because we love it, and I think it's the type of thing that everybody who's interested can get real-time value out of. So
we're here with
Serena Anombasa.
Yeah. And if, for those of you, if you are just listening into this episode, you are welcome to go and listen to, well, I encourage you to go listen to our first hour of our conversation about our relationship with food and nourishment and energy that way and source, which you can find on the archives at 1-2 Radio under my show, Life Journeys with Serena. And you'll be able to find that's the episode for March 10th. So go ahead and start there and then you can pick back up here and listen to the second half of our chat. For those of you who want to ask us any questions or say hi in the chat room, you can go comment on the banner in the chat room. You'll find that by going to 12radio.com. Click on chat on the left-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to our Facebook group. And go ahead and leave a comment under our banner where you will see a beautiful picture of the ocean with Russell and Ambassa's wonderful headshots. And leave a comment right under their beautiful faces. And we're happy to answer any questions you guys have or any thoughts you have about the topic that we're jumping into today. I'm also here with Baby Shelby, who I'm sure you can hear, who has been dozing in and out of sleep and maybe waking up here. So if I need to bow out at some point and let these two continue the conversation, I'll let you guys know. But for right now, we were just... We were just in such a wonderful conversation about being able to connect with what each individual person needs regarding their relationship with food and with our and with nourishment and the way that we have our own individual interaction with the food that we eat. And Ambassa, I love where you were going with the dynamic that you have there in the way that you connect with people that way, if you want to keep going on that.
Well, I was pretty much finished with that.
Okay.
But I was just jumping in to say that about the peanut butter, but I love alchemy. So I can talk about that. Yes. Alchemy is everything to me. It's not just food. And it's not just plants, herbs, it's people, it's put people together. It's the best way to put this together and that together. Alchemy to me is everything, you know,
absolutely.
Working with everything, putting everything together and letting it, oof, yes, yeah, that feeling. So I feel like life really is about alchemy. It's about being at one mint with that. You know, so, yeah, in a nutshell, yeah, I could go on, but I'm not. I'm going to let that be and pass that over to Russell right now.
Okay. That's a perfect way of describing it. You know, a lot of times when we use the term holistic, like I'm a holistic healer, it's challenging to wrap one's mind around the whole of a thing. And so we're progressively expanding our awareness around what it means to be holistic, right? Because sometimes we are confronted with what appears to be chaos. Sometimes we're confronted with what appears to be a total lack of information and et cetera like that. So there are things that we learn that allow us to just sort of cut through that. And beautifully, our science is catching up with what our ancient wise ones have always taught us. Like, we know this new discipline called, a relatively new discipline called chaos physics, basically teaches us that no matter how chaotic a system looks, there's always order embedded within it, right? And those of you who are familiar with the word fractal or strange attractors, or Mandelbrot set. These are the people that said that went back and, in fact, it was Mandelbrot himself, went back and looked at chaotic systems in fluids And his colleagues were like, what are you looking at that? We've already discovered everything there is to discover about fluid dynamics. Thank you, Bernoulli. But Mandelbrot looked at it and says, look, there's more to it than this. And he wound up doing the mathematics, which demonstrated that there's not a single chaotic fluid system that isn't embedded with all kinds of profound order. And when he started plotting these, the points of interest in that, he came up with these graphs for fractals, which are now a part of the art world, you know. And but he, in doing that, he helped define and explain how these spirals and shorelines and blowing winds are all related. And so it goes back to the concept that we have looked at from the alchemy that says, take each one of us, we occur to ourselves on the surface level as being limited, that is finite, and of short duration, right? So we're finite and we're ephemeral. Man is born to die, right? But embedded in the finite ephemeral is the ever-expansive and the everlasting. So we have the finite ephemeral completely infused with the infinite eternal, which structurally, right, the scientists are calling a holofractographic event. So when the scriptures say, when the ancients used to say, even in the smallest mote and moment of existence, there is the entire universe. We now know that to be mathematically accurate. Does that make sense? So with that shoring up people's belief systems, we can take the leap from faith and belief to understanding, which sublimates to wisdom. So that's a core alchemical shift. Understanding, first of all, being intellectual or being intelligent does not guarantee understanding. Shout out to Candace Owens. And wisdom is an alchemical sublimation from understanding. But that's the primal goal that all the Abrahamic religions they get. You know, in all that getting, get understanding. It starts off, wisdom is supreme. But in all that getting, get understanding, right? And we have all the intellectual points we need to know that for every challenge the world is facing right now, someone has solved it. So the intellectual part is handled. So do we have the understanding of that? And we start off with that understanding with simple things like, how are we caring for each other? How do we prepare our food? I mean, how do we cultivate the earth to bring nourishing food? How do we take that nourishing food and feed our families and our communities?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And what strength will that bring us, and what will we do with that strength? You see what I'm saying?
There's something that's so freeing within that that faith that the answer has already been discovered somewhere to whatever we're struggling with or whatever we're pondering. Definitely.
So,
definitely.
And if you want the one that discovered it, you can go by conventional means and look for it, or you can go into your inner chamber and address the Akasha.
Indeed.
Which they're now calling what? The quantum field.
Yeah, that's right. Right?
So these wonderful mathematicians and theoretical physicists have gone about crowning the nature of presence. And letting us know that, hey, y'all might have thought there was no such thing as the ether, but there is, but we're just going to call it the quantum field because it makes us feel comfortable. But it's the same stuff.
Right.
As
That's
before.
right. Right.
So these little parlor tricks that Ombas and I are talking about that bring people joy and nourishment, things like that, this is part of the installed equipment, right? You should be able to tune into your loved one to say, look, I need to make this for you. And our grandmothers have done this forever. Forever.
Absolutely.
You
Absolutely.
know, my mother just told me the other day, you need to stop working. Get some rest. I was like, I don't need no rest. I sat down for 5 minutes and I was asleep.
Right, yeah.
So we sense one another's subtle and urgent needs so beautifully that just allowing for that and not getting in the way of it is really the work initially.
Yeah.
So I
Yeah.
don't want anybody who's listening to think it's a gift or some special endowment, you know.
Right.
This is
Oh
how
no,
we're
we
built.
all have access to it. We do. We all have
Right.
access to it. Yeah.
Now, some people's access is better than others. I know that, you know. So let me say this. And it was popular at one point to say everybody's psychic, everybody, and that's good. But if I were to say everybody can walk, anybody listening would know that's a ridiculous statement.
Yeah.
Because some people got too
Right.
fat to walk. Some people were born with deformities. Some people have had
Yeah.
accidents. Some people were caught in war. But it's part of the design principles of what it means to be a human being. Walking is part of the design principles. Okay. Some people are faster walking. You know, there was a time when walking was part of the Olympics, right? So there were people who could walk really fast for a long period of time, right? So
I didn't know that walking was a part of the Olympics at one point.
Me
that's a long
neither.
time
I
ago,
mean
right?
neither.
The
Oh my
walk race was
gosh.
part of it. Yeah. It was a walk race, and they looked so funny doing it.
That
People
must have
want
been
you to see it,
funny.
want
That
you to
must have been
remember. Look up
hilarious
walk
as well.
racing.
Well, it's all in the hips,
Okay.
right?
Yes,
That
I'm
must be funny
saying.
to watch.
I have to go watch that.
Yeah.
That is really funny. Oh my gosh.
So if your intuition or your instinct capacity is not where you want it to be, you can train them into a higher, you can train in a higher capacity, right? Just like with running, you know, their techniques that make you a better runner, right?
Yeah.
The techniques that can make you a more sensitive, intuitive, a more accurate, instinctual person, and to bring that intellect in where it's collating and translating those signals in a way that makes sense to those people who you want to teach and share with, right?
Yeah.
So the troika is
Absolutely.
instinct, intellect, and intuition. Those are the three modes of knowing. We talked about them before, I think. And this is just a model. It's not the truth. It's just a model, right?
Right.
But the instinctual part is what allows us to connect with it, activate our mirror neurons, stand in front of a half gallon of herbs and know if it's the right one for us, right? And it brings in signals from the manifest and material world, right?
Right.
And the intuition usually brings signals from our group consciousness and from the cosmos, right?
Right.
But it does help, you know, in the old days, they would say, well, the intellect is not that important, and blah, but we want to bring the intellect in to do its role to collate and translate. And then feel free
Right.
to do its thing. So eliminating spending some time reducing the quotient of fear and all the forms of inner resistance, right? That's going to allow you to respond with a certain amount of loyalty and fidelity to the signals that you're getting, right? Because if Mombasa had been doing what the concerned mind, she'd have left some of that hanging out
Yeah.
from the formula that she made. But as it stood, she put in what she was originally thinking was a ridiculous amount of cayenne pepper into the blend, not knowing that the only place they could have done the operation was out in the cold.
Yeah.
And that person was going to be warmed up from the inside, Right, through the transdermal transmission of the capsaicins and stuff, right? Nobody needs to know that stuff to have it work. But if you're going to, you know, if you want to explain it to somebody else in detail, it helps. But it's none of that is essential or necessary. So feel free to just tune in to your loved ones, tune into your guests, tune into your plans, and have that jazz person's mind where I can improvise on the signals I'm getting and trust that it's going to work.
And okay, I have a question for you then, Russell. What do you say to those who are trying to implement this into their life, and they're trying to tap into what their loved ones need and how they can offer alchemical support in that way, but they say that they don't know how to listen, or they don't know if they're hearing the right thing, or they have that doubt. What is your response to that?
I'll tell you what the deacon told me when I was 6 years old, and I was, he said, "You're gonna pray for the church today." He says, "Always start off with saying thank you."
Absolutely, that, yes.
That little rule works with so many different things. It's ridiculous. So say the objective is to provide a profoundly well, a perfectly nourishing meal for somebody, and you're feeling those doubts and whatever, jump ahead to the end and tell life, thank you for showing me exactly what to do. Thank you for giving me the resources and the understanding to know the person. And then,
and then
just don't do nothing else except
absolutely.
What comes
absolutely.
Up, one step at a time. Then also there's that rite of grace, you know, so you can say grace before it's even prepared, like the guys in the Hindu temple did. And stand on the consequences of the grace.
Absolutely. Here. That's a round of applause coming from over here. That was
but
great.
Sarita, does that
thank
answer
the
question
for
you?
Thank you for the question and the answer. Yo, absolutely. I can say, Sarita.
Go ahead, Ambassador. You go.
No, that was really, really, really good, because it is all about jumping to the end and what you want to see. What do you want to see here? What do you see? What do you see in your mind's eye? What do you see that your people that you see that will be optimal, and then jump into the end, and then like Russell said, or like I said, what he said, give thanks, be grateful, be appreciative, add to, appreciate and more appreciation, you know, and continuation and appreciation. And appreciation, nothing else can get in the way, can it? I mean, if it does, it is going to be totally taken over, like the light does in the dark room. So, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. That was a great question. I feel giddy. That was great question and answer, okay?
Well, what I love about your... Yeah. Go ahead, Russell. No, I'll
I was just going to add that for those people who are going to want to seek validation, and there's going to be a faction of people that want that, it's coming to the time where with the biohacking movement, you'll be able to put on a sensor before you eat and put on a sensor after you eat and figure out, and also train the sensors on the meal. And what's going to happen is what you have prepared will be measurable in terms of the results that your diner receives. Like, so they're coming up with technology that you just put on your finger or something like that, and in a matter of seconds, it'll kick out your nutritional profile, right? Then you feed them, then do another one. And It should you should you, okay. you should be a correlation, right? This should
definitely
should be, have some of those. Now, sometimes people have a deep malnutrition that can't be fixed with one meal, right?
Sure.
But you'll see a spike of necessary nutrients, et cetera, like that. So for those of us who will wonder, well, how do I know if this is actually working? I've trusted and trusted and trusted. I've never just, sometimes life will give you validation, and sometimes you just, you know, just hold up. There'll be technology that'll support you in this. And I can tell you that I've had technology support. Like, I was traveling through this hell once and looking for a community that I could help. Something said, demonstrate what you're talking about. So I said, bring me some water. And I tasted the water, and I was able to tell them what the nutritional profile was in the water and the contaminant. And I said, if you take this to your local university, they should confirm everything I've told you. And the brother Ibrahim says, we just got the results back. It's exactly what you said. Yeah.
Wow.
So this is, to start off small, right?
Yeah.
Right. But I didn't plan that demonstration. And when I heard myself saying, just take us to the university, they'll tell you exactly what I told you, part of me was like, whoa there, bruh, whoa. So, you know, there's a part of us that, you know, you got to know when this foolishness is coming up inside out.
Right.
So the mind can get a little spooked, you know, and so you got to know that that's what it does, and you can ignore it. When it's a proper signal, you'll be able to distinguish when it's just foolishness and somebody trying, you're part of your inner mind trying to keep you small, or when it's actually a concern, you'll know. And you would have known before you said something. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That is such an incredible example. That's such an incredible example of your experience with it.
Yeah, so
if you had any doubt,
have our confirmations.
Yeah,
you'll get your confirmations.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't help but hear all of this through the context of being a new mother, as you hear my kiddo right now. I'm sure who's getting very chatty, but
he's
in everything. He is a co-host. He always is a co-host, and he's just starting to babble more and more, so everyone will just hear him more and more every week. But with, you know, I can't help but think about my experience with breastfeeding in what we're talking about, because it is the most, like, in going out of my way to understand the science behind it so that I can understand how I'm supporting him and how my body is able to support him. I'm blown away by what our bodies naturally do as mothers to analyze the saliva of our babies and then be able to sense any sort of deficits or anything that is lacking in their immune system and then be able to give them the antibodies there through our breast milk. It's something that naturally happens with every mother when they're breastfeeding. And I think it's such a concrete example of the way that we all have this ability to support each other this way. And this is a unique and very intimate bond between mother and child. But I think we all have the potential to interact with all of our loved ones this way, of analyzing and reading each other's energy and figuring out what is lacking and what we can provide to support in that moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
I'm going to see if I can hand him off to his dad right now. But you two, I'm curious if I can launch you two into another layer of this conversation the focus that you had in your beautiful answer there, Russell, of sitting in gratitude and appreciation. You know, there is no way to be 100% in gratitude while also experiencing doubt. Or, right, if you are 100% focused on your gratitude, on appreciation, then you cannot simultaneously be sitting in doubt and worry. And it's something that I think is a really powerful tool that we all have the ability to use throughout our day, every single day. And it's something that I think is overlooked because it can be seen as too simple sometimes. Here you go. Thank you.
No.
Okay. Say bye to Shelby.
Bye, Shelby.
Okay.
Thank you for co-hosting with us, Shelby.
Yeah, you know. He says you're welcome. All right. Yeah, that's my. If I can keep going, but also I feel like I may have given you enough for you to just run with that. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Boss, you want to bite first, or you want me to launch? Oh, she may be on mute for a second. So I'll say this.
Go ahead, Russell.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is like Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. So in Algebra 1, they give you all the rules. And in Algebra 2, they tell you where you can break the rules, right? So what we know is that you don't have to be 100% assured of every operation. It's mm-hmm. just that the signals around doubt and resistance, they have to be below threshold, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like in any signal system, you could have some noise in the system, but as long as that signal noise does not override the signal that you want to transmit or receive, you can still get the job done, right?
Yeah.
So what you want to do is acknowledge where the doubt, fear, resistance, under the category of resistance is doubt, fear, resentment, those kinds of things
right.
that we consider
right.
negative. So as opposed to putting them in a negative light right off, we understand that those experiences, those emotional experiences can have value. For example, the doubt might be pointing to something authentically that you need to address. The fear might be doubt pointing to something that you authentically might need to address. But once you acknowledge them, then you can know whether or not it's a signal or if it's noise. And if it's noise, mm-hmm. you turn down the volume. And if it's on a scale of 1 to 100, you want to get the noise down below 25, down below 20, down below 10. And the meditative practice is great for doing that, you know, but also just feeling the signals in your body and allowing yourself to clear on the fly. Okay? And so as long as so when it comes to empowering ourselves, the amount of resistance isn't as important as the clarity of your vision and the intensity of the feeling. Anything from excitement through euphoria to absolute bliss works in an operation. Okay?
Yeah.
And if you get those two on high threshold, you don't really always need the third element, which is repetition, right? With clarity and intensity, the amount of repetition you need drops off, right? So you might not need to do a mantra 1,000 times. You might need to do it 10 or 1, and then you'll feel it click, right? Is this making sense? So the formula,
absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so the Akuma formula for accomplishment and is clarity of vision. Like, do I know what I want? In fact, We do this with, in fact, Ombasa sat me down over the phone, by the way, and said, what do you want? And so that jolted me into going from a vague sort of generalization to a very, very clear perception and embodiment. So when we say visualization, it's a little bit of unfortunate that that's gotten so popular, because people tend to just think of, I just have a virtual ocular image of it. But what the instruction actually is all of the senses, as much to the point where you're embodying the experience in real time that hasn't occurred yet. Mm-hmm. And then allowing yourself to feel the feelings of its accomplishment. Anything from contentment, which is a good feeling, and contentment can be pretty intense, even though it's, you know, not the jumpiest feeling, right? It's not pom poms in the air, but it's a powerful experience to be content, through excitement to euphoria to bliss, anywhere in that range.
Yeah.
Coupled with the vision, right?
And not to feel bad about it, if you don't feel, if you don't feel that way, then get you some. You know, this is a playground, right?
Yeah.
This world is a playground. Now, how well are you going to play? You know, there's going to be those times where you have that little bit of doubt and fear with a lot of subtitles under it. And then you get to, yeah, okay, this is another example, okay? So somebody comes, you know, oh, man, I just can't stop eating cake. Every time I turn around, I got sweets. I said, well, then triple up on some salad. You know what I mean? Just you get an antidote for everything, you know?
So, Ambassador, are you calling me out? Are you calling me out? I've been eating cake like crazy lately. I can't stop baking. My husband keeps saying, you got to stop making this chocolate cake. This is not going to go well if you keep making this. You must be feeling me. Okay, sorry. Okay. I just had to call you out on that.
But thank you, because, and it's a lot of people. It's like, it's a lot of different things. Okay, so, you know, if you go to the gym too much, so if you get there, is that, you know, then you need to go and chill out somewhere on the lake and don't do nothing. You know, you need to be able to bring in the balance if you feel that you're doing something to the detriment of you. And because this is a playground. You have to, this is about experience, right? And this is about, you know, continuing to be the best version and the next best version and then the next best version. It'll never stop until you leave the body. So have fun. How many cakes can you bake in a week? But how much are you going to balance it out when you feel that you need to balance it out? Again, right. Exactly. It's about the person. They need to be able to feel within themselves, okay, what would make me not feel so bad about eating this whole cake? you know what I mean? What can I do, not as a punishment, but just as the love for me to be able to balance me out, and then I just feel so good that I just got it. Oh, yes, my endorphins are raising off the roof. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can I add to that a little bit?
Please, Mbasa
really is the maestro, is really the maven of fun, right? And I call her the maven. She calls me the maestro sometimes. But here's the thing that's beautiful about building experiences like that, because they go into your storehouse of understanding. And then when you're trying to get a demonstration around something serious that you can't seem to get it up for, and I can't seem to feel any emotion or excitement, or you have a storehouse of experiences that are anchored to the best feelings in your life. And you can decouple the memory of the experience, right? With that pure juice of, like Spock is pure energy, Jim. And that pure juice that was the excitement that went along with it, and transfer that just without that, the memory was great. You can leave it there on the shelf, but just take the excitement from the experience and put it to, like, I want to help my friend heal.
Mm.
So I'm visualizing them well, but I need something other than this pity and sadness that I feel because they're suffering, right?
Yeah.
So you embody the experience of them being well, and you take one of your best experiences, your strongest orgasm, your biggest belly laugh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just allow yourself to feel that, and it's going to connect with the thought form that you're creating around your friend's wellness. So having as much fun as possible is going to build up your battery. It's going to give you a storehouse of experiences that when you're not having fun and you're doing something that's serious and all, you can mm-hmm. dig into that
mm-hmm.
and pull out the energy of fun
mm-hmm.
from any one of those experiences mm-hmm. and connect it with the operation you're doing.
Mm.
To improve your wealth and well-being, to improve your career, to improve your relationships, and to empower your contribution to the world and to human family, to other people. So we all are, you know, there's a lot of conversation around manifestation and stuff like that.
Mm.
And we're all getting better and better at it. You know, we're all where we are. The things that I've had trouble manifesting. And that's sure. one of the reasons why in this period, I'm going back to the fundamentals, like what I just described, so that we can get things on the hair trigger instead of these long waits for demonstrations that are sort of weak and incomplete. Because mm-hmm. time is of the essence for us as light workers, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah,
I think something that for people who are maybe just feeling like they don't have a way out of worry, right? Sometimes it can be so all-encompassing, and like you're saying, if you bring in just a little laughter, or if you just bring in a little, it's so powerful when in those moments you're able to cancel the heaviness of worry or doubt or fear or anger by bringing in something as simple as laughter or love or appreciation. And I find that mm-hmm. if somebody is saying, God, I just don't have anything to laugh about. Life is just so hard right now. I can't find anything that if I try to laugh and bring that joy to my life, it won't be genuine, right? Because we've all had those challenging moments.
Well, you know what? To that, I would say this, because when you talking, and what came to me was the scene. Okay, I'm outside the gym right now, so when I get off, I'm going in. But this is the thing. This is funny. So when I started, you know, in January, you know, I was coming in and, you know, every time, you know, so crowded, you know, and so mm-hmm. many people, and so intimidating. And so, you know, so I'm like, you know, I'm just used to walking or going or working out in the swimming pool. So that's usually my thing. So going to the gym has always not been my thing, but they had so many amenities, you know. So I said, okay. So I go in and I walk around, and everybody's always on the machine that I want, that I came for, of course.
Right.
So I would end up, so this is what happened. I would end up in the thing that I pay extra for, which is the hydro massage table, which of course is good for me. I love it. You know, I love it because I haven't had a physical massage in years and years and years. Okay. So mm-hmm. So this is what happens. Every time I come, this is what was happening. I was walking around, so people was on the machine, because I'm not getting ready to walk on the treadmill, because I could walk outside. I don't like the treadmill. So that's the only thing that was kind of free. But so I would end up on the table. So every time I come out the gym, it would be that same thing. So that last time I went, and I walked around, and I really wanted to do something just, you know. And I got over there and I started laughing so hard at myself. So my thing is laugh at yourself, because find stuff, because there's a bunch of stuff that you can laugh at yourself, about. If you look at yourself and you really zoom out, and I looked at myself walking around there and I was thinking, you faking it. You faking that you're going to. You're a fake gymmer. And so since then, I started using the machines because I had a little help. Somebody showed me. But other than, I was faking it, and I laughed so hard out that place. I laughed. My stomach was hurting. And people would thought somebody was in my ear, really, and I was in my ear. But it was hilarious. So one of the pieces of medicine that I would give to that is zoom out. If you zoom out, you look at yourself in the situation that you're talking about, or another situation that you have an issue with, or another one that you just got finished dealing with, you will find something that you can laugh at. Because that's the way spirit works. That's the way the creator works. The creator always will give you something to give you a belly laugh if you don't just happen to attract someone else to give it to you. You know, because most of the time I'm not talking to a lot of people. So I do get my own laughs, myself. Mm. And I will be in a store anywhere and doubled over. Like somebody is right there with me talking. Because, yeah, I have fun like that. But that's a practice. I feel like that's a good thing to put into practice, just to be able to find something to laugh at, And if you don't have nothing, go put on a comedian. Yes. Put on your favorite comedian, but find something to get that belly laugh. You need that. That's so healing. It's a gut thing, Gut.
And let me add this, because this is broad audience here. There may be people out there who have prescriptions to help them take some of the pressure off the sense of emotional oppression. And so if you've ever been watching these Greek, the wrestling matches like they have in high school and the Olympics, you imagine that emotional state having you pinned. Right, imagine two kids wrestling, right? One is the real person, and one is the emotional state that pill is going to give. Like when wrestlers are like holding one another in a one wrestler has another one in a hold, right? And he's pinned. What the other wrestler is feeling for is the slightest break in that other wrestler's concentration, a loose muscle here or there, and it allows you to escape the hold, right? So that pill might be just the thing to let the feeling that has us pinned down loosen up in the right place where you could use your training to get out of that chokehold or whatever. You see what I'm saying?
And that is exactly, that's exactly what I tell people when they have the flu. If you down, you're not going to want to hear nothing about no herbs, okay? You are not want to hear nothing about no herbs. You need to go get you some Theraflu, okay? And get rid of some of the symptoms, okay? So that you can go in now with the herbs and stuff to get rid of it. Yes, indeed. Yes, so I concur with that. That's awesome.
I didn't mean to step on your riff.
No, that was done.
Yeah, so this is when it really gets to be holistic. So I just did a session with somebody who's going into chemo, and that session was about get all the benefits and alchemize a way so that you have very few to no side effects. So if a person is concerned about, and this sounds exotic, but if you take a course in hypnotherapy, Silvermine, that's the first week. That's the first week they show that. This is a very fundamental thing. So if you go in with grace, and like, I'm going to take my antidepressant or whatever, and go ahead and thank your body for giving you the benefits and overlooking the side effects. Right? You can play with that. Mm-hmm. Then go and,
be able to take you to some fun so you can get a damn antidote.
Yeah. Say that again, Marshall, please. I didn't hear it.
I said, thank your antidepressants for taking you and leading you, taking you out to an even point, to that point, so that you can see, be able to maybe see some fun that could be your permanent antidote. You know, one that you could use on a regular. You know what I mean?
You both were saying the same thing. Yep.
Yes, indeed. And that's what I'm saying about the food. You know, it's like it's all about that balance, isn't it? It really is.
Mm.
Finding that balance.
Yeah.
And in real life, you know, balance is more like harmony, because not like the scale.
It's the same thing.
Like,
yeah,
a balanced meal. Mm-hmm. Like if you're doing spices and food, a balance would be a little bit of spice. You don't want a pound of cinnamon.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
A balance is found in the flow of the proper amount of each ingredient. Right.
Yeah.
But, that's right. Alchemy.
But awesome. You're seeking advantage. This is a Sun Tzu moment, because one of the laws is seek every advantage. So we don't hold that there's, you know, don't take the drugs and the pharmaceutical industry and all like that. Neither of us have ever been like that. Seek every advantage and then refine it to your needs.
That's right. Get in front. That's right. However it's going to win. How you winning? How you winning today?
Well, especially when we have so many. We have so many tools at our disposal. Why not use all of them until you find the perfect recipe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's going to change, probably. You get to riff on something else later on or refine it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So we're speaking to people who are citizens of, for the most part, the post-industrial hyper-developed world.
Yes.
And that gives us an advantage with regard to access resources. And that's something in and of itself to be grateful for.
Absolutely. I know I am.
They're free to go out and seek resources just about anywhere. You can order them from anywhere in the world. And there are parts of the world that really don't have that. So,
that's an interesting what you just said, you know, about, you know, some people not having it, because before you said it, I was thinking, you know, some people, you know, like, they're like, well, I can't get my hands on that. And sometimes I've been in a position like the 700s way across town, and there's nothing where I live, and, you know, I have to. This is where the real alchemy comes in, is that you say, well, what do I have? You know, what do I have? Ancient times, they found what was there, you know? Okay, maybe it might even be me just sitting and breathing it away, you know? Mm-hmm. It may be something to that effect, because sometimes I don't have nothing in the cabinet that I could use for whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it really is a beautiful thing. This is what I will say, is that it is a beautiful thing that we are equipped.
Yeah.
Period. For me.
I mean,
ultimate
demonstrations are going to be you as the event generating everything from your presence. And so these little demonstrations of, hey, I just did it with my breath, or I did it with my pharmaceuticals, but I had a better reaction, and now I'm these are all rungs on the ladder, right?
That's right.
Ultimately,
there's tools, and there's tools in your medicine bag if you choose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but ultimately the presence can continue, Maestro.
Oh, all I was gonna say was, When the reason why I'm pointing that out is because in all the disciplines, the ultimate initiation was to put a seeker into a darkened chamber and have them make light from scratch.
In
the ancient times, you can go to a dark room these days. That practice is coming back. We call the initiation of the hierophant, when the let there be light was literal kind of, you're in this darkened chamber, and you're going to stay here until, you do it or die.
Is that the one you were talking about that was in Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
The tomb?
Yeah. I actually was in the tomb, but yeah, in the darkened chamber, the king's chamber. That was the alchemy that was done. But at one point, it was one of a billion cats that could pull that off. Now we've got a world full of people who are radiant and ready.
To do what?
What life calls for them.
Okay, and that's like going in the darkened chamber.
Yes, that's the equivalent of that. So
okay, gotcha.
And I know the Course in Miracles says there's no small miracle. So there may be people whose focus is on just creating the best family experience and a legacy to that. Might be people just want to be able to transform what's going on in the third grade classroom that they teach. It doesn't have to be newsworthy.
Right.
But as light workers, we spend a lot of time focused on, am I comfortable? Do I have the love of my life? And all those things are very, very important. But once you get your demonstrations, I'm going to suggest that because of the times we're in, the mandate is there may be a mandate for you to provide more than you have provided in the past, beyond your own creature comforts and et cetera, like that. Because, we have wonderful teachers. Like if you go to a Tony Robbins or a Joe Dispenza or people like that, they're going to help you get your Maslow's hierarchy of needs met. That you will not be, if you follow their instructions, you will not be in poverty. You will not be sick. So, and these are like, they're telling you in ordinary scientific terms how to do it using neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, basic medical understanding and blah, 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 like that. So what I'm saying, what is a new frontier for the light workers, for the bright workers, for the providers? What is the frontier? And I think we mentioned it before that the idea that heaven is within, very last energy, the kingdom of heaven is within. But what is our job? Is I would say to externalize that, right? And is there something that's been calling you which affects more than you on a group level or across time? Because I've met a lot of frustrated light workers who are circling back to fix problems which they already know the answers to. And I've suggested to them that maybe that's not why you called.
Right.
Maybe you want to be at peace with what's going on in your life, and if you take on that thing that you've been avoiding, right? Watch these other things just clear up.
Absolutely. And on that note, you two, we do need to wind down.
Parting words.
I know, and wonderful parting words. I love that we got to end on that note.
Great. That was timely. Perfect, Maestro. All right, people. Well, we are happy that we got a chance to hang out with all of y'all. And it's wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, Serena. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, thanks, you guys. Oh, you two are absolutely lovely. We'll just have to do this again. This flew by and was too much fun.
It flew by. I knew it would. All right, beloveds. I will take good care. And we'll
you
talk
too
soon.
As well. We will. We'll talk soon.
Likewise. Peace.
Thanks so much for listening in, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Mondays. And thank you for tuning in. This is 1-2 Radio, where you are listening as we are changing the way that we listen to the world. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, everyone. Have a good one.